Jesus, speak to my heart. Change my life. In your precious name, amen. You may be seated. August the 1st, here we are. Only 4.5 months left until Christmas. Seriously, folks, Christmas decorations are already going up. I was in a store today. They're already selling Christmas magazines. Was in another store. They already have all the artificial trees set up. So here it comes. Whether you like it or not, everybody, summer's over. The fall fashions are already in. I mean, you don't have a time to breathe in the United States. Have you ever noticed that? You just get used to a season, and they're already pushing the next one. And here comes the year 2000. I hope you're saved. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5. I'm going to read a couple scriptures. This message is entitled, Other Men's Sins. Other Men's Sins. Look this way before we read the scripture. How many here understand that we believe in the Lordship of Jesus here? If you sat through this song service and listened or participated, you know that this is all about Christ. One night I took notice of how much the cross and the blood was mentioned in the service, and it was overwhelming to the preacher, and I hadn't preached yet. Anybody that comes in here and says we're not preaching Christ and Christ crucified is blind and deaf. So we preach Christ and Christ crucified. This young man that just testified, and his sister, all about Jesus. I just worship the Lord. I love worshiping the Lord. The worship, a few minutes. We recognize you as Lord all through the worship with Lindell. It was talking about the Lordship of Christ. He's everything, friend. He needs to be not only your Savior, but your Lord. Verse 22 of chapter 5 of 1 Timothy. Chapter 5, verse 22. Lay hands suddenly on no man. Neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Neither be partakers of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Now turn back with me to 1 Corinthians. I'm just going to read a few scriptures tonight. Pastor, I know God's in this. I know He is. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Tell you what, folks, I've got about 5 scriptures and I'm not going to read them. We're going to stick with that one scripture because that says what I want to say tonight. Be not a partaker of another man's sins. Before you leave out of here tonight, I want you to see these two sentences in your Bible. When Paul said to Timothy, Timothy was a young man, he needed instruction. I'm a young man, I need instruction. Every one of us need instruction from God. Paul was very straight with Timothy. I like that. Leonard Ravenhill used to say, read the book of Timothy every day for 30 days in a row and nothing else, and it'll change your life. Just the first two books of Timothy, Timothy 1, Timothy 2. Read the first two books, those two letters to Timothy, it'll change your life if you read just them every day for 30 days. And Paul said, be not a partaker of other men's sins. Keep yourself pure. What he was saying is another man's sins will defile you. That's all he was saying. He was saying, Timothy, be careful. There's a lot of people mingling out there in the body of Christ. There's a lot of people that you'll come in contact with that'll have bad influence on you. Well, I woke up early this morning, extremely tired, but ready to hear a word from the Lord for tonight's service. Around 6:30, I was in my study and within minutes received instruction for tonight's message. Tonight, I want everyone to give the Lord your best ear, your undivided attention. If there was ever a night to not allow yourself to be distracted, Because I'm preaching on other men's sins. If someone else is distracting you, they're probably sinning. They're probably being disobedient to the Holy Spirit. We'll have people in a service like this. A backslider will sit there and be fuming. And someone else is sitting next to him wanting to hear the message. And the backslider will go, "Where do you want to go eat afterwards? What do you want to do after the service?" And they're sitting there trying to hit. Listen, one person is obeying the Holy Ghost. The other person is in direct disobedience to God, sitting there grieving, quenching, resisting the Holy Spirit. Three sins that you don't want to fall into, friend. And so if there's ever a night to not let someone distract you, this is a night. Listen to what the Lord is saying. Let me begin by saying that I've been a Christian for 23 years. That's not a long time, but it's long enough to learn a few lessons. In my short pilgrimage as a Christian, I've seen and heard a lot. How many here have seen and heard a lot? I have watched with my own eyes some of the most stalwart, able-bodied soldiers of the cross die in the field of battle because of sin. I have seen the most serious slip into sin and slide headlong into the miry pit, some of which are still there today. I'm going to say that again. Pastor said this to me yesterday. We were sitting here, had nothing. I had no idea I was going to be preaching this today. You turned to me and he said, "You know, you never know what's going to happen to a church member." He said, "One day they're fine, the next minute they're out." How many know what I'm talking about? One minute they're worshiping God in the revival. The next minute they're in a bar somewhere drinking. We're getting to the root of it, friend. I have seen the most serious slip into sin and slide headlong into the miry pit, some of which are still there today. I promise you, even as I speak, there are people that were going to be at this revival meeting tonight, but they were playing around on their computer before they got here. And they slipped into some porno web pages. And instead of being at the Brownsville Revival where they're supposed to be, they're sucked into some cesspool. And they can't seem to get loose. The tentacles of the devil are all over them. I have had awesome respect for individuals. Indeed, I thought they were God's choice servants on the earth. And then I've witnessed them fall into hideous sin. Now keep in mind, I came out of hideous sin. I wonder sometimes, pastors, what's going on with, you know, it's almost like the reverse what I've seen. I came out of hideous sin, and I'll never go back. And I've been around pastors and people that have never taken an aspirin, and then never done anything wrong, never done anything seriously wrong in the flesh. Now they're 52, 53 years old, and they're in adultery and pornography. And I'm going, that's, you know, I came out of junk like that. Now you're going into it. Now you're sipping wine. Now you're sipping beer. Now you're courting some girl. Now you're doing this. Now you're doing that. What do you think? You missed something in life or something? I had a man come up to me one day. James, I want to tell you, you talk about wanting to pop somebody. It's grace. That's what it is, Bubba. It's grace that'll keep your hands by your side. This man came up to me. He's about 55. And he had left his wife and his children. His children weren't grown yet. They were still growing up teenagers. He left his wife and his children for like a 22-year-old girl. And he looked at me, and he had been a good father. This man had been a great father, church member, everything, just like great guy. And he looked at me and said, "You don't know how she makes me feel." I said, "Yes, I do. She makes you feel young again. She says things to you that maybe your wife used to say to you back when you were courting. She thinks you're special. You mean everything to her. Her eyes glisten when she's around you." And I told him, I said, "Part of the problem is she doesn't know you yet. Your wife knows you." But he sat there and tried to convince me that this was God. You don't know how she makes me feel. I wanted to pop him. Then he said, made a statement. He said, she's appealing to me. She's beautiful to me. And I said, oh, like your wife used to be. And he clammed up. And I said, have you ever looked in the mirror? You've changed a little bit yourself, buddy, over the last 37 so years. Anyway, I've watched these people fall into hideous sin. I have learned early on that the Christian life was not a corporate walk or a buddy system, but it's an individual walk, completely dependent upon the seriousness of each believer. It is up to you. If you're going to live for God, then live for God. If Joe Blow wants to fall into sin, he's going to fall into sin. One of my favorite writings is by William Gurnall, The Christian in Complete Armor. If you've never read it, you need to get it. It is hard reading, but it's an awesome book. And William Gurnall in The Christian in Complete Armor, he wrote it back in the 1500s. But this man, he said, many times you're going to have to go forward in the Christian life, even over the bodies of your dead brethren. He was talking about those who backslide. You'll step on their bodies like anyone that's a soldier here would do in war. You're going up the battle hill, the enemy's up there, your friend dies, you ain't got time to do a thing. His head's been blown off. And you need to be propped up. You need to push yourself up over the hill. You step on the skull of your dead brother and you push yourself over the hill. Any soldier will tell you that's part of battle. And William Gurnall would say, you're going to see them come and go like the wind. They're going to fall right in front of you. And he was saying, use them as a stepping stone. Learn a lesson from their lives. They're dead. They're gone. Step over them and go on with life. This is hard stuff, friend, but I want to tell you, I'm planning on making it. How about you? And young people, I want you to listen to me. With a great revival comes great persecution. With a great revival comes great deception. The devil has got a substitute out there, and it's going to come your way. And you're going to be around people that are just gung-ho Jesus, on fire for God, leading the way, and they're going to drop in the field of battle. What are you going to do? Stare at that person the rest of your life and go, oh, man, if he can't make it, I can't make it. Where'd you get that? Jesus saved you. I said, he saved you. And if he saved you, he's going to take you all the way there. I learned early in life about the power of example. I learned early how we are so easily influenced by those around us. Remember, friends, somebody's always watching you, and I'm always watching others. You know what influence is? It's a power. Influence is a power that you can't see. Its operation is invisible, and it's known by its effect. That's influence. It's a power to lead or direct that you can't really get a hold of. It just, you influence people. An example of that is last night, we had Hector Ferreira from Argentina come up here and his son, Eliseo. How many were here last night? How many heard Eliseo pray? Eliseo. Now, Hector did not sit Eliseo down for years and years and said, son, this is how you bind the devil. This is how you bless people. This is how you pray. Eliseo would watch his dad. He would listen to his dad. He'd go to the campaign meetings with his dad. He'd watch his dad pray for the sick, and he'd watch the sick be raised up. Eliseo's watching, and he wasn't going to class with dad. He was just there. He wasn't in Sunday school. He was just there with dad, watching dad. His dad was influencing him. It was an invisible power. And then last night, Eliseo is given the microphone, not Papa, but the son is given the microphone to pray over the offering. By the way, took care of the whole need. Glory! I've even given Hector some money for his own personal family. So he's blessed. He's blessed. But Eliseo starts praying, and people in the audience are going, "Wow, no, yeah, no." What is that, friend? The power in the boy's voice. He's going after God. You can hear every word is shooting straight to heaven. What is that? That's influence. Well, just as someone can be positively influenced, they can be endangered by the negative. Many tonight with the sound of my voice are in serious danger. The Apostle Paul here was warning Timothy about the danger of partaking in other men's sins. To partake means to have a share of or take part in. Now, I'm going to move quickly through this, friend, but I know this is God tonight. How many will bear with me just for a minute? Those of you at home, I want you to listen up. Those of you listening to my radio and internet, you've tuned into the right website. You're in the right place, right channel. Many of us are influenced. I'm just going to give you some points. You can number them, whatever. I don't really care tonight. Many of us are influenced by the negative, sinful conversation of others. Many of us are influenced by the negative, sinful conversations of others. There are those within the sound of my voice who have allowed somebody somewhere to get into your ear and spew out rotten words about certain subjects. And without even being fully aware, you have picked up their views and opinions. You have become a partaker of their sins. Let me give you an example. A person, there are people within the sound of my voice, many of you at home, you're not saved because of someone else's experience. That's why you're not saved. Somebody else has spewed garbage on you. It could be your father. He had got saved when he was a kid, and he grew up in church, but then he had a bad experience in a particular church, and he left the church, and he backslid. Now he's a drunkard, and he's taught you all your life, forget going to church. They're a bunch of hypocrites. They're not worth anything. Well, friend, he is spewing that negative, sinful conversation on you, and what you're doing is you're becoming a partaker. You're sipping of his sins. You are becoming a partaker of your father's sins. He's gone. He's backslid. He's away from God. He's a God mocker and a God curser, and you're becoming just like him. I meet people all the time, and they give me these reasons why they're not saved. And always, pastor, has to do with somebody. Somebody said this to me. Somebody said this. That's why children come to the Lord so easy, because no one's gotten to them yet. That's why they get saved in this revival. That's why they get saved in your church so easy, because no one spewed any vomit on them yet. They've heard the word. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Just as I am without one plea. And they come and they get saved. They get right with God. It's awesome. They run to the mercy seat. No one's gotten a hold of them yet. I wonder how many here tonight have allowed somebody to get to you concerning becoming a Christian. Perhaps they became a Christian at one point in their life, had a falling out with somebody, and now their influence has gotten all over you and literally kept you out of the kingdom. This morning when I was preparing this message and writing this down, I felt that when I was writing it. There's times in my study alone I will shake under the power of God as I'm preparing a message. Just shake under the power. And I'll go, "Jesus, what is that?" He says, "Steve, write it down. Write it down. Write it down. I know who's going to be there." And I'm warning you, friend. You're on your own. It ain't up to Bubba. It ain't up to Susie. It ain't up to Grandpa or Grandma. It's up to you. What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? What are you going to do with the Savior? What are you going to do with Jesus? When are you going to make up your own mind? I love you dearly, friend, but I'm not going to play games tonight with you. God's spoken to me. Friend, don't be a partaker of their backslidden thoughts and ideas. Yesterday, I received a call from Europe, a man who wanted more of God. And for 2 years, he has fought the negative conversation of another pastor. Another pastor was talking about not this move of God here, but other sprinklings of the Spirit in other areas of the world. And he said, "Stay away from that stuff." He said, "There's nothing there." You know, people that talk like that, are as dry as desert sand. And you usually got an ego the size of this room. Stay away from him. This man called me from Europe, crying over the telephone. He said, all I want is God, Steve. All I want is God. And I said, I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to pray with you. My staff will tell you, friend, we have prayer times there, man, over that telephone. You can feel it. And I mean, we pray for folks all over the world. And you can feel Claudio Frayson. How many are familiar with Claudio? Claudio, who travels, holds meetings. Before he goes into these stadium meetings, he always calls me on the cell phone. And he'll say, Steve, I'm right at the edge of the platform. He said, I'm about to speak to 65,000 people. He goes, now, Steve, pray for me. Right now. Right now. And I'll go, ahora, 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 now, now, now. And pray a house of fire on him. Then I go, hello, hello, hello. Then he'll say, I'll call you when the meeting's over, brother. But we pray for folks. And this man was so disturbed because someone had spewed garbage into his ear. And he was missing a move of God because of it. Is anybody paying attention? I wonder how many people have not become Christians because of the sinful behavior of others or other so-called Christians. Well, I'm just going to touch on some things that the Lord gave me this morning. Pastors, I want you to listen to me. Christian workers, many of you are partakers of your congregation's sins by neglecting to confront them. The fear of man has overcome the fear of God. For the fear of some type of retribution, you've chosen to wink at the sins. And as you refuse to confront, you're actually showing approval. That's why Paul said to Timothy, those who sin rebuke before all that others may fear. Well, if we started practicing that in our churches, friend, could you imagine? You know, you've talked to Jimmy three times, one time alone, the other time with the eldership and the deacons. He's still not out of adultery. So Jimmy's sitting in church, and he's oozing out all this adulterous spirit on people. Because, you know, the congregation knows. You know that, don't you? Sheep hang out with sheep. Okay, they hang out with sheep. They know who's got beer in the refrigerator. They know who's really living for God. And you don't confront him. But could you imagine if one day you went, Jimmy, would you stand? Now get ready for a lawsuit. I said, get ready for a lawsuit. Because we're living in some strange days, man. But I've watched this man right here excommunicate people from Brownsville Assembly. I've watched him excommunicate people. Why? They were wolves among the sheep. And publicly, they were ousted from the church. I watched him with my own eyes, had to walk out of the church and leave in shame. Hector Ferreira, I've watched him, the same one. He had a cell group where one of the leaders was doing all kinds of bad things. He was out there taking a large group of the church, and he was leading them in the wrong direction. Hector had talked to him one-on-one, had talked to him with the deacon board, and the man hadn't changed. So he stands in front of the whole church and says, I want this family to stand to their feet, and excommunicates him in front of everybody. Those who sin rebuke before all that others may fear. You know what happens? The church rises up in favor of the leadership. And they go, thank God we have a pastor. Thank God we have a man with backbone. Regardless of how big the tither is that's being rebuked. I'm moving on from that one. Parents are often partakers of their children's sin by not administering parental authority and discipline in the home. Now, this is a different kind of message for me to preach, friend, but I'm telling you, God spoke this morning to me. By you consenting to your child going down to the local video club with his little card and getting what he wants. And I say, child, it could be 15, 16, 18 years old. And you let him go down there. You said when he reaches a certain age, he can rent PG-13 and R-rated movies. Many parents are like that. Want to know why? They want it all in controlled in their own home. Folks, you bring the devil in your home, it's just the same as him going to see the devil in a movie theater. It's worse. But you don't rebuke the child for watching a program that has sexual overtones and violence. You've allowed the child to play the tapes in their home entertainment center. Therefore, you are participating in the child's sin. Paul said to Timothy, don't be a partaker of another man's sin. Keep yourself pure. Keep yourself pure. Well, I'm going to do something right now. We're not going to be long on this, but I'm going to do something. I want to speak to every one of you in this room, and I don't want no one to raise your hand, but every one of you that have known the Lord, but you're in a backslidden condition right now. You've been influenced by something out there. And Charlie, I want you to bring out this. It's just a simple illustration that the Lord gave me this morning. There's nothing really heavy about it, but it'll get the point across. It's interesting this morning. This is a Bible guide that we printed up. I love this thing. And I turned to it on the way to church tonight. Just set it right there. And here's August 1st on the Bible guide. Okay, everybody stare at that for a second. Now look this way. Okay. People are a trip, man. Okay? I'll tell you where I got this face, ladies. And they have a few left. But this thing, it's an $80 vase. It was on sale for $49, and I thought, you know, that's expensive, but it's exactly what I need. And I went to the counter, and I'm buying this vase, and the lady at the counter goes, "Hey, Maggie, is this part of the 75% off?" And Maggie goes, "Yep." So it was $13. And I forgot the name of the store, so you're just going to have to find it. No, it's on Highway 59, one of those biggies. It's not Old Time Pottery, it's the other one. That's not it. But anyway, now look this way. That's over. Robert Murray McShane said this. This is today's reading. He said, "I feel persuaded that if I could follow the Lord more fully myself, my ministry would be used to make a deeper impression than it has done." The very thing I'm talking about tonight, influence. If I could be closer to Jesus myself, then my flock would be closer to Jesus. Let me tell you what's going on here, friend. Many of us are influenced by the sinful actions of those around us. Now, many of you in this room have gotten saved. You have gotten saved, you're on fire for God. When you get saved, James, I want you to hear me. When you get saved, you're as pure as the water in this vase. You are crystal clear. You are clear. You're untainted. You are saved. Say that with me. Saved. Say it again. Saved. That's why people leave out of here so happy. Their sins are washed away. They wake up the next morning without the burden on their hearts. They get up and they're going, "Whoa, man, I feel great." They drop the cigarettes. They drop the alcohol. They drop the hunting. They drop everything. God gets a hold of them. It's wonderful. But then what happens? I'm saying many of us are influenced by the sinful actions of those around us. Then you get around people.
that call themselves Christians. You're on fire. You've been cleansed. You're brand new. You're a babe in Christ. You're doing great. And you're at the mall and you run into somebody that's puffing on a cigarette and using some vile language but goes to the local church, serves on the deacon board. And they start, you know this person, they know you, and you're obviously changed, and you frighten them. You scare them to death because you are so changed, you've given up hunting. I mean, you've given up chewing. You probably chewed too, didn't you, Bubba? You've given up everything. And then you're around other people. You're pure. When they look at you, they're going, man, how on earth? And they're going, whew. Then they put their arm around you and they go, you know something? The Lord understands. Smoking is really not that bad. And you say, well, you know, I really feel, you know, our body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. Then you say, listen, God has put me in an area of authority. I'm a deacon at a church. God would have never put me in this area of authority if he didn't love me, care about me, knows about everything that's going on in my life. He knows about my pressures. He knows about my nervous condition. And he just knows me. And God understands smoking. It's not a big thing, man. And next news you know, you have become tainted. Your water's not as pure anymore. How many have met people like that? I have. 1 minute, they're on fire. They're as pure as snow. Next time you get around them, you look at them, there's something wrong. You can't put your finger on it, but somebody's gotten to them. Somebody's sinful lifestyle. Somebody said to him, there's nothing wrong with a little drink every now and then. How many kids have left out of this revival and gone back home to a backslidden dad with a six-pack of Miller in the refrigerator? And the dad sat there and told him, son, you don't have to be that serious about God. We've always drunk together. You don't have to drink a six-pack, but just drink a beer like a Coke. It ain't no big thing. Next news you know, he's sipping on it again. How many young people are sucked into evil practices by hanging around others that are involved in those abominations? How many within the sound of my voice have become a Christian and you were soon tainted by someone else who was stale, lukewarm, God-nauseating? And now you become as yellow as they are. They said things like this. You can't live for God in that condition all your life. That'll wear down. Cool down a little bit. I'm speaking the truth to you, friend. That's why every time I get a new convert, man, I want to gather around them and talk to them. They email us all the time. They write us. We write them back. We go bonkers, friend, with this. We're so up to here in answering people. And I cry. I literally cry when I can't get to people because I know what they're going through. They say, I've been to the Brownsville Revival. I'm on fire for God. Now I'm back in Virginia. And now this is happening. And if I can't get to them, it's like if you can't disciple them and raise them up. Next news you know, they're tainted. Well, let's see what else happens. How about a little get around a little jealousy and envy. Brand new Christian. Some of you have been sucked into this. You're a brand new Christian. You go back to a church and you get around some leadership that's so negative. Pastors, I want you to hear me and hear me good. We send people to churches all over the world. I've watched pastors send people to other churches in Pensacola. Why? Because he wants them to go out and be nourished. We tell them, if they're a Methodist, they want to go to a Methodist church, we'll plug them into a good Methodist church. There's not an envious, jealous bone in his body. But there are pastors who will say things like this, bless God, if he wants to send revival, he'll do it in my church, in my closet. I don't need to go down to Brownsville. pastor, it's really important to get a touch. I don't need a touch from nobody down there. God's going to move. He can move right here in Poduck, Kentucky. He don't need to go down there. I don't need to go down there and get some Pentecostal or one of their prayer team members to lay hands on me and push me down to the carpet. I don't need that. I want to tell you, friend, Ira Sankey said this. He used to travel with D.L. Moody. He said, it doesn't take half a man to criticize. And I watch people. I've led a lot of people to Jesus over the years. And it's one thing as an evangelist to lead them to Jesus, but the heart-wrenching part is keeping them saved. And it has nothing to do with them. It has to do with all the other rot that's out there. That's why Paul was saying to Timothy, stay away from the rot. Keep yourself pure. Get away from them people. And the other scriptures, friend, if you want to do some cross-referencing, you do it on your own. It's all through the Word. Stay away. Flee. Get away from them. Leave them alone. Stay away from the bickering, the fighting, the cursings. Stay away from all those folks. Keep yourself pure. Next thing you know, friend, your life is all et up. And you become envious and jealous. And you become rotten to the core. I remember leading one girl to Jesus. She was so on fire. Doing so good. She went home one day from school with a black friend of hers. This white girl with a black friend. Her father, her whole family's in the church. Goes home. And as soon as the girl walks into the house, pure relationship, just friends. Walks into the house. Her father starts to fume. He doesn't say anything until the guy's gone. Then he says to his daughter, don't you ever bring a blankety blank blank into our house again. Christian man. Boy, when I heard about that, I had myself a time. Because I was a youth pastor that time. I didn't care how much he tithed. But the girl was on fire for God. And now she was picking up all these wicked traits. After I had been preaching my heart out that at the cross, everyone's the same. That there's no Jews or Gentiles. There's no black or whites. Everyone's the same at the cross. We're all one big family. All one family at the cross. I said we're all one family at the cross. Everybody's the same at the cross. Everybody's the same. And this poor brand new child of God gets spewed on. Perhaps you found yourself in the middle of a conversation of negative men or women spewing out unrighteous opinions, polluting the very waters of life that flowed in your life. There's so much here, friend. This is what I watch happening. Many of you within the sound of my voice, some of you are at home. The reason you don't go to church is because of what's happening in this vase right here. You're already tainted. Want to know what God's looking at? Cloudy water. He's going, but I saved you. I delivered you from that critical spirit. I set you free from envy, bigotry, hatred. Paul warned the church of Galatia. He said, you ran well. You did so good. Who has come into your midst and destroyed you? Who has done this to you? Who has caused you to fall away from Christ? I hope you're paying attention, friend. Because pastors, I need your help on this. Keep an eye on the flock. Keep an eye on it. When you have some young man like James and his sister get saved, I mean, friend, you watch them like a mother hen would watch her little chickies. You watch over those guys and don't let any disgruntled, cold-hearted, backslidden, lukewarm, nauseating church member get around that new believer. As a matter of fact, I would suggest to you, when that new believer comes into the church, sit them down and warn them ahead of time. And you can go ahead and name names. Because he's going to find about it. He's going to find out about it within a day or two anyhow. So just say, James, stay away from Sister Polly. She's a mess. If you're on fire, she'll pour cold water all over you every day. Stay away from her. I wonder how many young Christians have been destroyed by that type of influence in their life. Well, I'm going to move on. This, by the way, is just food color. This is not that magical stuff you put in here. This is just Walmart. This is a classic. You know what this is? Depressed people. You're on fire, man. And you get around depressed people. I'm not talking about clinically depressed people. They're out there. I'm talking about people that just choose to live down in the dumps. You sing a fast song, they don't like it. You sing a slow song, it gets them more depressed. You can't make them happy. No matter what you do, they're miserable. And these young Christians get around them, and they're going, God's changed my life. Yeah, well, I hope it lasts. We're going to take up a missions offering this morning, and we're going to bless Hector Ferreira. You'll never get it in this congregation. Always down in the dumps. Always depressed. Does anybody know anybody like that? Friend, I want to tell you, if you're not clinically depressed, I mean, it's not a physical, mental condition, you better snap out of it. You've got a lot to be happy about. You've got a lot to be blessed about. God has changed your life. He set you free. You're going to heaven. What are you so depressed about? You know what happens? Revival breaks out in churches. Revival breaks out all over American churches. And there's people that they're in a few services, and then they go, it's never going to last. You meet people like that. I wonder how long this is going to last. Man, sure has been good. What do you mean sure has been good? You're still in it. Yeah, but it can't go on forever like this. They're already depressed because it's over in their minds. You ever been around people like that? I have. I'm going, I'm a church planter, friend. We go into cities. We go into cities and plant churches. When we go into cities and plant churches, you can't be depressed. Okay, that's not how you start a church, okay? What are you going to do? I'm going to plant a church. What are you going to preach? Jesus saves and heals. I just hope he does. No, friend, you go into an area, you put up flyers all over the city, you rent a building, and you say, come, everybody, come and see. The Lord's going to work miracles. He's going to heal the sick. He's going to set the captive free. He's going to raise the dead. Come on, come on. Everybody, come on. Jesus. And then you'll always have your people start coming, and there'll always be a handful going, this will never last. You'll never be able to plant a church here. Look what's happening to your life, friend. Some of you are, you're watching this, you're going, my Lord and my God, that's exactly what's happened to me. I want to tell you what this is. This is sin. You have partaken of another man's sin. You have allowed them to ooze all over you. Some of you are involved in habits right now because someone talked you back into that habit. Others of you are critical because you've allowed somebody to make another critical person out of you. You've allowed that to come into your life. It wasn't the intention of Jesus. It wasn't his plan from the beginning, but you've allowed it. I have, and see, this was an admonition to Timothy. Paul said, keep yourself pure. He didn't say, talk to the deacons and have them keep you pure. He said, keep yourself pure. That means it's up to you, friend, to keep yourself pure. I am pure. I keep myself pure. I don't hang around all that junk. If somebody comes up to me with a critical word, I've got closed ears. If somebody comes up to me with bigotry, I've got an open mouth. But friend, I'm telling you, if somebody comes up to me depressed, I go, my God. I say, look at me, sis. I say, you got a lot to be thankful for. What, Brother Steve? Most of the time, nothing's really going on in their life. Y'all hearing me? Nothing major. Flat tire, you know. Dropped a few eggs or something, you know, just straight into depression. And I look at her, and I'll say, sis, there's a lot to be thankful for. And I'll say, you know, aren't you glad you're not a frog trying to cross I-10? She'll look up and go, ha, ha, ha. You do anything you can to try to prop them up. But they're so sad. I can't be around people like that, friend. You can't ever get anything done with people like that. And if you're like that, would you please snap out of it? Just snap out of it. Just snap out of it and start living for God. He is victory. There's victory in Jesus. There's hope in Jesus. There's life in Jesus. There's abundant life in Jesus. Let me tell you something else, friend. I'll tell you. How many here have been hurt by somebody before? I'm going to ask that question again. How many have been hurt by somebody before? Let me tell you something. If you've been hurt, if I had time right now, we could go through this crowd and everybody could tell me the situation. Because you remember it. You're never going to forget it. So just forget it. If I sat around and thought about all the people that hate me, and all the people that talk bad about me, I would live in the dumps. But the Bible says something different. It says, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of a good report, think on these things. Think on the positive things. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. Well, I'm going to close. I really am. Well, this last one. I'll just use this one. You're not going to see no change because it's so dark already. See a little bit there. That, my friend, is a the superior attitude. That people have I want to tell you, friend, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this one. See, I was saved out of drug addiction. As soon as I got saved, I went on television. They started putting me on television, doing my testimony, and people would come around, they'd pat me on the back, and they'd say this about me, and they'd say that about me. Then years went down, I did more, you know, talk shows and television and travel and did this and did that, and then went to Wilkerson School, and then after that did missionary work, and we would travel around to the churches. David Grant, you know what it's like. You go into church, and people think you're a hotshot. You know, you're going in there, and you're a missionary. People come up to me and go, wow, what's it like? It's like they're just worshiping you. And you look at them and go, nothing really. You know, I'm just working in a different area of the country, of the world. You work here in Phoenix. I work in southern Argentina, or I work in Belarus. There's no big difference. But what's it like? The food's different. It's the lifestyle's different. And you try to bring yourself down to a level where I'm just a common man just like you are. But then you get around others. And Bible school students, I want you to hear me. When you got saved, you were a nobody. After you're saved, you're less than a nobody. We're all worms. But I'm a child of the King. Keep it to yourself. Don't go around just puking on everybody how great you are now. The world can't understand that kind of stuff. They can understand humility. They can understand brokenness. They can understand tears. They can understand you talking like, man, there was so much sin in my life, but God has washed me clean, and I thank God he's washed me clean. They don't understand when you walk up to them and go, sinner! But I get around folks, and I have in my Christian life. They try to elevate you. They try to make you somebody. And I've had pastors, Lord have mercy. I've had pastors tell me what I'm supposed to drive. I've had people tell me how I'm supposed to live. I've had folks to tell me what price I should spend, what I should spend on my suits. If you're going to be doing what you're doing, this is what you need to spend on the suit, Steve. I've had people say that straight to my face. This is really what a person in your level should be spending on a suit. And they try to talk to me because now you're somebody, Steve. You're a world evangelist. Now you're somebody. And I look at them and it just doesn't compute. I'm going, what are you talking about? You've been on every news program in the nation, buddy. You're on CNN 2020. You're on all these programs. You're out there, man. You're somebody. I'm looking at them going, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? But I've watched it go to people's heads. And the water gets murkier and murkier and murkier. So you got a youth program with 100 people. Whoop-de-doo. You started with 10, now you got 100. How many live in your city? 300,000? I think there's some work to do, buddy. Well, Charlie, I want you to just take it out of here. I'm sick of it. I really am. I really am. That depressed me. Get over it. I mean, it did, friend. When I saw that clear water, I felt Jesus in this. You know, I just felt Jesus. But looking at that muck, I'm going, my God. I love looking. I looked straight through that vase and saw your faces. That's how it was. I could look straight through the vase and see your faces. And I looked at that, and I wanted to grab it and take a big drink. You know, it was just beautiful. My last point tonight is this. If you choose to partake of another man's sins, remember, you've also chosen to partake of another man's judgment. It's truth. I read a scripture today that spooked me in Revelation 18:4. It says this, and I'm closing. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, out of Babylon, my people, that ye be not partaker of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Friend, I'd advise everyone within the sound of my voice tonight to shake off everything around you that's gotten on you. That stuff, that junk. I want to tell you something, James. Don't you let anybody suck you back into the things that God's taken you away from. I don't care who they are. I don't care. I don't care if Ted Turner comes up to you and offers you your own hunting program. If God has set you free, he set you free, and that's the way it is. Don't become a partaker. Man, in this revival, everybody stand. In this revival, I've had people, y'all look this way. Don't move the chairs yet. When this revival was 3 months old, a pastor called me. He said, Steve, you've been going 90 days now. It's time to quit. Is anybody listening? And he's a good friend, big church. He goes, why don't you just move on, Steve? I said, well, God's not finished. He goes, and this is back in 1995. This is before you got saved, sis. Matter of fact, if I'd listened to him, she would have never come to the altar. Think about that. This was around October. When was that, November? November. He said, time to leave, Steve. Go on and do other things. Want to know why? He was unsuccessful. Oh, he had a church, but nothing was really happening. And this was blazing. It was blazing. You want to know what it was? A threat. It's a threat. Because suddenly the whole world was going to that church. And they were coming out with a touch from God. Even some of his members had journeyed down here and gone back totally transformed. And it was a threat to him. And I remember when that got on me, it started getting close to me because he was a friend. And I went, whew. Ah. And I hung up the phone. It was filthy. And I'm saying, Lord, I'm not going to be a partaker of that critical, hypocritical hatred for anything that shakes. Whatever was causing it, I felt it coming over the phone. And I just hung it up. I thought, God, deliver me from people like that. Want to know why? I used to be a people like that. And I ain't never going back, friend. I'm never going back. Never going back. I want you to move your chairs, those in the front, move the chairs to the left and the right. Charity, come on up. Everyone else, look this way. I know we're crowded tonight, but I hope everybody got a seat. We're going to do something right now that normally I would never do, and I want the cameras off. I don't want the cameras to tape this. We just had a delegation of Mormons with us, and they come a lot. You would be amazed, the people that come to this revival. I'm telling you, would be amazed. Witches, warlocks, delegations of witches, Mormons, Jehovah's Witness, Buddhists, Muslims, they come. One night I looked across and there was two full rows of Buddhists. And they come and they get saved at this revival. It's amazing. It's amazing. But let me tell you, we're going to pray right now before we pray for anything else. Before you get right with God, some of you are going to get right with God in just a minute. We're going to pray that the words that fell on these gentlemen's ears. This revival has been very disturbing to a lot of people because we preach that there's only one way to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. We had a large homosexual group of people, not a congregation, but a large group of people that contacted us, a large homosexual area. They wanted to come to the revival. But the leader of the group would not let them because of our stand on homosexuality. Because we believe homosexuality is a sin. And as much as I want them to come, and if you were in the here last night, you saw that homosexuals are saved all the time here. And they're baptized. They're really saved. They get saved, okay? They don't just come into a church and sort of feel good. They get saved. They go and sin no more. And so we told them, our stand on homosexuality is from the Bible. And we love you as human beings, as individuals, but the sin is wrong. And we treat it the same way as adultery, as drunkenness, any other sin, sexual perversion, anything. It's all the same. Sin is sin. And they were disturbed about that. That we would not cool down our message so they could come. Pastor, let me warn you. There's rising in the world today a belief system. It's going to be all part of the one world church, where everyone's sort of just mixed in together. It's already starting. You can see churches splitting all over. But what's coming out of all of this, there's a sword coming down right down the middle. And the sword, as you watch that thing come down, you're going to see what's being preached. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father but through me. You're going to see the one church rise up. There's only one Christ. There's only one church. There's only one sacrificial lamb. There's only one way to heaven. And you're going to see people bucking that, fighting that, and they're going to fall away. Continue preaching it. Because there's millions out there that are going to join. They're waiting for someone to speak clearly. And when folks visit this church, they get it clear. All the secular media, they get the same gospel as everybody else. Matter of fact, the 2020 program, when they were here, I believe it was Lucky Severson came up to me and he said, I've had 23 people try to convert me. This was a Today Show when they were here. 23 people. They were only here like 2 days. 23 people nailed them about their walk with Christ. And Lucky would say, I'm here. They had press badges. I'm here with the Today Show. And the people would go, don't care about the Today Show. I want to ask you a question. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? So everybody gets the gospel. I want everyone to look this way. Charity's going to sing Mercy Seat. Those of you in this room that are backslidden, and those of you at home, you're doing things that Jesus would never do. You're in sin and you know it. You can sit in front of a television set and flip it on and watch filth. Maybe because your brother who goes to church watches it. And you've been sucked into another man's sin. You know it's wrong because you've got a fuller, deeper walk with Christ. I preached a message one night entitled, Holier Than Thou. And oftentimes when people say to you, what are you, holier than thou? You can say, yeah. As a matter of fact, I would say yes to that question. Because what? You are clean. You're living for God. If you're bugging them, if they're blowing smoke in your face, you can say, hey, listen. No truer words were ever spoken by you. Yeah. So maybe you're in this room, you're backslidden. You can sit in front of a TV set and watch someone slip their clothes off and it doesn't grieve you. You can lust over a magazine cover. You can lust over a woman walking down the street. Or, sir, you can lust over a man or a lady. You can lust over a man in this place. Sir, you can lust over a woman in church. A woman jumping up and down, dancing before the Lord. You can lust over her. If you're into that, friend, you're backslidden. It's one thing to see a person. It's another thing what you do when you see a person. And if you're not a head turner, if you don't turn your head and captivate your thoughts and grab a hold of them going after Christ, I question your salvation. I said I question it. Because Jesus would never do that. WWJD, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Backslider, you've lost your spiritual appetite. You've lost your spiritual appetite. You're more concerned about the things of the world than you are the things of God. You're backslidden. Little things don't bother you anymore. You're backslidden. You were once pure as that water, but now you're tainted. Others of you in this room have never known God. You have never known Jesus. God brought you here tonight. I said He brought you here tonight. One of the ladies that was going to testify tonight, we just didn't have time for all the testimonies, is a Buddhist that got saved at the revival a couple years ago. She's standing right here in the aisle. She's awesome, awesome woman. She was baptized here, and she said, Buddha has never done anything for me. Jesus has done everything for me. She's a special woman. She keeps bringing in this area right here. I don't know how many Buddhists I've prayed for that she's brought to this revival. Maybe you're here tonight. You've never heard the gospel. You've never heard that Jesus loves you and has a plan for your life. He died on Calvary 2,000 years ago for you. That He's the only way to heaven. Maybe you've never heard that, but you're hearing it tonight. You've heard it all night long, all about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I'm going to tell you, friend, in just a minute, Jesus will change your life at these altars. I don't want anyone to come forward until Charity begins to sing. You can stay right where you're at. He'll change your life tonight, friend. I said He'll change your life. He'll come into you and make you brand new. Backslider, He's going to purify that water. But those of you that have never known the Lord, He's going to take all the junk out of you, and He's going to fill you up with pure water. He's going to take the sin away. You're going to be as crystal clear. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Jesus is going to forgive you tonight. There's a lot of folks that need forgiveness. A lot of people here tonight that need forgiveness. And others in this room, maybe you're not as backslidden as others, or you've never known the Lord, but you're religious. I want everyone to give me your best ear. You're religious. You go to church, but you don't know God. This is probably the quietest time in the revival is this moment right here. This is a time of self-contemplation. You look inside and you say, Jesus, do I even know you? I don't want anyone to raise their hands, but how many have asked themselves that question? I have many, many times. In the middle of ministry, I've had to stop and go, are you anywhere around Jesus? Do I even know you? Your relationship with Jesus is often like a relationship with a spouse. I've been married 19 years. You can go years, husband or wife, and never communicate with your wife. You can say, hi, honey. Good meal, honey. Thank you for ironing this, honey. Thank you for doing this, honey. That's not communication, friend. That's living together in the same house. You can go 19 years without ever even talking. 20 years. Or you can have a great relationship for 14 years, and then it starts just dying off. And for 5 or 6 years, you don't communicate with your husband. Many of you, is like you're like that with Christ. It has died off. You don't know him. You don't talk to him. You don't know Jesus. But you've learned. See, you've learned the songs. You've learned, oh, hail the power of Jesus' name. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. You can sing all the songs. So you can act church. You know where to find the scriptures in the Bible. Nobody knows but you and God and the devil. Religion is hanging around the cross. Christianity is getting on the cross. You can go to hell with baptismal waters on your face. You can go to hell with a communion cup in your hand and a wafer in your mouth. You can go to hell with a certificate from the Sunday school of your church saying record attendance for 1997, and you're working on record attendance for 1998, and go to hell if you don't know Jesus. I'm asking you tonight, do you know him? Do you wake up in the morning with Jesus on your heart? Do you go to sleep at night with Jesus on your heart? Do you eat, drink, and breathe Jesus? Are you consumed with him? Did these testimonies up here bother some of you? Them jumping up and down, stomping those cowboy boots on this tile. The lady jumping up and down, on fire for Jesus. Others were rejoicing, but others were going, man, how can anybody be that way about God? Friend, if you're not exuberant about God, I question whether you know him. Because anyone who knows it, Jesus, lives in a state of elation, lives mesmerized. They live in a place of, oh my God, you're with me again. And I mean, they just live looking for his appearing if they know Jesus. So I'm asking you, do you know him? And don't lie to the Holy Ghost tonight. Don't lie. Here's what we're going to do. Charity's going to sing Mercy Seat. Everyone who's away from God is going to come quickly. Everyone who's never known the Lord is going to come quickly. Everyone who is backslid, everyone who is religious is going to come quickly. The only thing that'll keep you back tonight is pride. And once again, don't be a partaker of another man's sins. I want to tell you about this man. His name is Lucifer. Lucifer's greatest sin was pride. He said, I will be like the Most High God. And so now you're calling the shots. You're prideful. And Lucifer's saying to you, you don't need to go down there. You take care of this at home. God will deal with you at home. Friend, God wants to deal with you right here. This is the place right here. You'll be a miserable puppy if you walk out of here and not come down here. If you know you're supposed to be down here. You'll think about it all the days of your life. Why couldn't I go down to that altar? Why didn't I have enough guts? Why couldn't I be a man or a woman and go down there and kneel at that altar and get the sin out of my life? Why? Pride, 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 pride. The Bible says God abhors it. He hates it. He turns from it. He resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So tonight, humble yourself just like Jesus. Remember, he humbled himself. He went all the way to the cross, the Bible says. He poured out himself, the Bible says. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was spat upon. He was cursed. He was mocked. He was blindfolded. He was slapped. And he knew who slapped him, but he didn't say a thing. They whipped his back. They drug it across his back. They plowed his back with a whip. It ripped open like ribbons, like a furrow in a farm. They ripped it wide open. And he was laying there in a pool of blood. Didn't open his mouth. He was on a mission. It was to save you tonight. It was to set you free tonight. They put a beam on his shoulder. And they said, get up to that hill. He drug it up to the hill. They laid him on the cross. They pulled all his clothes off. Most theologians will tell you he was crucified totally naked. That was Roman crucifixion. They nailed his feet. They nailed his hands. And they put the cross on top of the hill. This is why the Bible says, and the women watched him from afar off. I believe, pastors, the reason they watched him from afar off, except his mother, is his nude body. That's what I believe. I believe they couldn't stand the one who had saved their souls was now naked in front of them. Here he is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He did all that for you, but you can't walk 50 feet for him. He did all that for you. You can't come down from the balcony. You can't kneel in your home. Come on, friend, get real. Don't be a partaker of another man's sin. Shake off everything that anyone's ever taught you. If you know you're supposed to get right with God, then you get right with God tonight. I'm going to bind the devil again tonight. I feel him operating in this place. I'm going to bind him. Matter of fact, Hector. Friend, here's what we're going to do. He's going to bind the devil. As soon as he quits, Charity's going to sing Mercy Seat. When he's binding the devil, look this way, folks. He's going to bind the devil in Spanish. Devil speaks fluent Spanish. When he binds the devil, the shackle on your leg is going to come off. If you know you're supposed to be down here, the shackle is going to pop off. He's going to bind him in Jesus' name. The shackle is going to pop off. When that shackle pops off, you've got a split second to move away from your chair and get down here. And if you don't, see, the devil knows what's going on in your life. He's been watching. If you don't come quickly, you might as well turn to Lucifer and say, Lucifer, you can have me. I want to be a partaker of your sin and your judgment. I know, I've read about your judgment. And I want to be a part of your judgment. What you're going to be judged for. Because I sure don't want Jesus tonight. I've got too much pride in my life. I don't want God. So I'm going to serve you, devil. You might as well pray that prayer, friend, because that's really how it is in the spirit realm. Some of you are being extremely irritated by this. But I want to tell you, friend, when you get alone with God, you can take every one of my statements and talk to him with the Father. He'll say things like, if you're ashamed of my son, he's ashamed of you. If you confess him, he'll confess you. Hector, yo quiero que ates el diablo, pero por 20 segundos nomás. Y cuando termines vos, ella va a empezar a cantar y van a venir la gente. When he finishes, when he finishes his 20-second prayer, if you know you're supposed to be down here, you come quickly, right now.
Padre, en el nombre de Jesús, te damos gracias por tu amor y tu misericordia. Ahora, en el nombre de Jesús, atamos el poder de las tinieblas. Se llame como se llame. Lo ligamos en el nombre de Jesús. Suelta la vida. Suelta la vida ahora. Suelta la vida ahora. Suelta la vida ahora. En el nombre de Jesús. Libres, libres, libres.
Come on. Hurry, hurry.